This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray. I continue to say it. We're getting closer, ladies and gentlemen, as we are less than 2 months away from the start of the college football season. Days until August 23rd, week zero, under 60. 59 days away, Farmageddon over in Dublin. Right now, Kansas State, a 3.5-point favorite. A game on the island with Hawaii and Stanford, where the Rainbow Warriors catching 2.5. I'm looking forward to talking to Timmy Chang when he comes to town for Mountain West Media Days, which is also less than a month away. Excited for today's show. Chris Felica, the Bear, he's going to join us. We're going to have a long conversation, bounce all over the place. The Bear is one similar to me that likes to look at the opposite side. Do we finally have some pushback on the Clemson Tiger love in 2025? Leave it to the Bear to be that resistance. We'll get to Bear here in just a little bit. So looking forward to that. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe. And as I say, you know, it's June 25th, vacation time. You run into a stranger. You run into a friend you haven't seen in a long time. Casual conversation. Just remind them of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. The numbers have been great, and that's a testament to you guys. Continue to give us those five-star ratings, and if you want to continue to chime in with suggestions for guests, great suggestion, by the way, on Bobby Carpenter. Really enjoyed talking to him last week. So thank you to all of you with the suggestions that you've put out there on either Twitter at one Tim Murray or in the ratings, five-star rating. I did see one of the ratings came in and requested Ken Thompson. I love Ken. So hopefully we'll get him on later this summer, talk a little USC football with him. So before we get to the Bear, I want to get to one of the interesting things of the week regarding college football. So there haven't been a ton of transfers this year, as we've discussed here, I would say almost ad nauseum on the podcast regarding the quarterbacks this year. A lot of the big name teams have stuck with their homegrown guys. Maybe the most notable quarterback transfers, Carson Beck going to Miami, Fernando Mendoza going to Indiana, Mark Gronowski, as we talked about with Scott Docterman, he goes from South Dakota State to Iowa. And Florida State, they needed a quarterback, and they went out and got Thomas Castellanos from Boston College, and he will be paired up with Gus Malzahn, as Malzahn, of course, left UCF to become the offense coordinator at Florida State. Well, Castellanos, who, remember, as an underdog week one a year ago, went to Tallahassee and took care of business as Florida State started their season brutally with a loss over in Ireland as a 10.5-point favorite to Georgia Tech, came back home to the States, lost on Labor Day Monday as a 16.5-point favorite that was once upon a time 23 prior to the week zero loss for Florida State. And Thomas Castellanos played great down there in Tallahassee and got the win. And now he's a Florida State Seminole, and week one, they bring Alabama to town. Quote, "I'm excited, man. People, I don't know if they know, but you go back and watch every first game that I played in, we always start fast. I dreamed of moments like this. I dreamed of playing against Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me." That took on three sports. All right, real quickly, I do want to hit on this because being confident in oneself, I don't have an issue about it. And to be honest, I kind of love that he said it because it gives us something to talk about. We'll note this. First game of the season in 2023, Boston College starting quarterback Thomas Castellanos lost in overtime to Northern Illinois, and he was 13 of 28 with two touchdowns and an interception. So look, no, losing to Northern Illinois, you know, some might say that's a cool thing to do. Notre Dame thinks it's pretty neat to lose to the boys from DeKalb. But to say that he always gets off to a fast start, well, It's not necessarily true when you think back to 2023 and Boston College as a 8-point home favorite loss to Northern Illinois. But the big thing is calling out Alabama and calling out Kalen DeBoer. Is this a team that is a little bit different? Well, 1 year with Kalen DeBoer, they went 9-4. They missed out on the playoff. They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Michigan in the bowl game. Is he wrong? I think we don't know yet. He is right. Nick Saban is not there, the greatest coach to ever walk the sidelines in college football. But should he be putting that target on their back? And you as a bettor right now, does this make you want to bet Alabama laying 12.5 against a Florida State team? We're going to talk to the Bear about Florida State. Lenora Sellers, by the way, the quarterback of South Carolina, was asked about Alabama on a radio interview later this week. And he said, quote, "Alabama is still Alabama to me. They were good last year. They're a big team. They're big, strong, and fast. That's how I remember watching them growing up. And I don't really think they've changed that much. Obviously, they've got a new coaching staff and all of that, but that's still SEC ball, and that's still Bama." Lawrence Sellers, smart guy. By the way, South Carolina, pretty good spot. October 25th, catching 7.5 at home against Alabama. You want to talk that talk, man? Back it up. I love it. You know, gives us something to talk about. Am I going to be taking the points with Florida State at home against Alabama? No. Am I racing to lay 12.5? Not necessarily. There is an offshore out there at 13.5. But we've talked a lot about Alabama on this podcast, and I'm in on Alabama this year. I haven't decided how I want to bet them, whether to be win the national title, to win the SEC, go over the win total of 9.5. But Ty Simpson, is he going to be the guy with Ryan Grubb returning? I'm optimistic there on Ty Simpson. And you know, we're going to hear Bear talk about another quarterback that maybe is not getting enough love when it comes to the uncertainty regarding him and his team at that position in Oregon. But I kind of love that Thomas Castellanos said that, but I also am thinking to myself, maybe that's not the brightest thing to ever say. It did remind me of 2016. Alabama opened up the season in Arlington, Texas at Jerry's World against USC. And there's a video of USC and the front part of their team coming out of the tunnel is crawling like, oh, let me have them. Let me at them. Alabama went on to win that game 52-6. If you go back in the Saban era, and once again, it's the Saban era, and that's the point of Castellanos. Saban ain't there anymore. The history of Nick Saban and Week one games was pretty promising. You go back to year one that he was there against Western Carolina, FCS foe, won by 46. They played a lot of neutral site games against Power 5 teams. Clemson in 08 in Atlanta, won by 24. Virginia Tech in 09 in Atlanta, won by 10. Michigan at Jerry's World in 2012, won by 27. Virginia Tech in 2013 in Atlanta, won by 25. West Virginia in 2014, Atlanta, won by 10. Wisconsin, back in 2015, won by 18 in Arlington. As mentioned, the USC game. They did play Florida State once upon a time in 2017, won by 17 points in Atlanta. Beat Louisville in Orlando by 37. Beat Duke in Atlanta by 39. Beat Miami in Atlanta by 31. So history has been on their side in these P5 or P4 week one games. But also, I'll point this out. If you remove the COVID season, when they started the season at Missouri, this is the first time that Alabama has started with a true road game since 2000, when they went out to the Rose Bowl and they actually lost to UCLA. Now, that was the pre-Saban era, but this is the post-Saban era. I am bullish on Alabama this year. And if you ask me if I would lay it or take it, I think I would lay it. And putting that bullseye on the back, probably not the best thing. I do like the in the Athlon previews that are out there. They have the anonymous coach that gives a quote on the team in the team preview. This is what a opposing ACC assistant said about scouting the Seminoles. There's a significant disconnect in the talent at this program. On paper, in the rankings, they're doing great, but a lot of their rivals feel like they're not recruiting at a truly elite level. And the guys they get aren't developing. It fell apart faster than I've ever seen. They were really early adopters of the portal, and that 23 team was an absolute nightmare to scheme against. You had the combination of in-house, developmental guys from Florida high schools and transfers. They started missing in both categories after that. Gus Malzahn, is going to take it back to the basics and do a lot of run game at first. His hire was way more about culture and having the veteran in a room than it was about a particular kind of scheme. We'll see how this one plays out. I am not too bullish on Florida State win total sitting at 6.5 or 7. We'll talk about the Noles coming up on the other side of the break when we welcome on Chris Felica. All right, just a reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, a man you know, the one and only Chris Felica, the Bear, joins the podcast. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And as promised, making his maiden voyage on the podcast, but he has made many appearances on VSiN. You know him as the Bear. Chris Felica joins us right now, the original champion of the Circa College Football Invitational back in 2022. You can catch his podcast, Bear Bets, with some of our friends, Jeff Schwartz, a part of that, my ginger brother, Will Hill, Sammy P, and of course, coming up in the fall, another year as part of the Big Noon Kickoff team, as they will be starting up in Columbus, Ohio, Texas, and Ohio State. You know, Bear, you love the sport like I do. We're both bettors, but week one for me, I'm just excited the fact that we've got a lot of these big games on campuses, right? You guys will be there for Texas and Ohio State. That'll be on Fox, Big Noon. ABC's primetime game will be Clemson, LSU. I know Florida State and Alabama. Maybe we got a little extra juice this week with Castellanos's comments. And then, of course, a game that you and I will very much be eyes on, Notre Dame at Miami. And the last time the Irish traveled down to your alma mater, it was a hornet's nest, and the Canes took care of business. So, you know, it seems like, and there still are some neutral site games, but it does feel like college football for now is kind of pivoting away a little bit from the neutral site games. We've got some monster non-con true home games, which is exciting.
Yeah, we do, and they do involve a lot of the SEC teams. And you go down and look at some of the future schedules, and after week one, and it gets kind of sketchy. Certainly involving some of the Big Ten non-conference games, but early on with Ohio State, Texas, that's a great way to start. And then, of course, the game that we have between you and me down there in Miami, it's good. And I wonder if this behind the scene, well, not really behind the scenes, but this is one of the things I think why the college football playoff is being discussed on expanding again, and why the SEC specifically is so intent on really having strength of schedule matter in factored in the selection process, because again, the committee just has a hard time really being able to apply that a team that might be 9-3 with a strength of schedule of 27 and have three top 10 or 15 wins can be better, and in a lot of cases is better than a team that might be 10-2 with a better record but has a strength of schedule of around 78 and might have one win against a top 10 or a 15 team. And I think that's really what this is all about, in my opinion, of the playoff and are we going to expand. So I think that's why we see these big non-conference games certainly involving the SEC, because I think they're trying to make a point saying, hey, the fans want these games. Our players want these games. Our network partners want these games. We want to give them to you. But in the end, if the cost of losing this game overrides the negative of if the cost of losing overrides the positive of winning, then why the heck should we play them? And I think that's the disconnect right now between where we are with the Big Ten winning, wanting the automatic number of AQs and the SEC saying, let's just go rank them 1 through 16 or whatever it might be.
So with that being said, Bear, now that we've had our first year of a 12-team playoff, and I don't know what the Arizona State number was preseason, and but it is funny to go back.
Well, God, what were they, like 40 to 1, 50 to 1 to win the Big 12, something like that?
Well, they were picked dead last. I mean, it was 16 out of 16 teams. Arizona State was picked 16th. And, you know, number one was Utah, didn't go to a bowl game. Number three was Oklahoma State, winless in conference play. Number four was Kansas, didn't make a bowl. And number five was Arizona. So, yeah, the Big 12 was as, you know, for a conference that we expected to be unpredictable a year ago, it was even more unpredictable.
As you're sitting here running that down, I'm thinking to myself, I can remember every show that I went on last year, I was like, I think you could bet Iowa State, and I think you could bet it was one other team I mentioned too besides Iowa State. In the Big 12. I can't remember who it was right now that you mentioned, like, yo, you could see any of seven or eight teams winning, and it wound up not being any of those seven or eight teams that you thought could win. It wound up being someone else. So, yeah, it really was ridiculous, and it did certainly prove to be crazier than any of us potentially thought it would be.
And I think the expectation this year, if you look at the betting market, it's going to be unpredictable again. And, you know, we can get to the Big 12 here in just a moment, especially with their quarterbacks. But when you look at betting the playoff market, and if we've learned anything from year one, what have we learned from a betting standpoint, betting into the make or miss, the college football playoff market, Bear? And have you changed your way at all of, you know, year one to year two from betting into the college football playoff futures market?
Two things in terms of the make or miss the playoff. I think that they still don't have a really accurate idea on how to price this. Mm-hmm. I did notice that one site that does have this market up where you could parlay teams to make the playoff last year. You can no longer do that. So maybe the books did learn a little lesson in allowing bettors to be able to do that. But if you look at some of these prices right now, like Penn State is minus 250 to make the playoff. They're going to go 10-2 at worst, and they're going to make the playoff. Ohio State is like minus 350 or so to make the playoff. They have the best offensive player in the country. They have the best defensive player in the country. Even if they lose to Texas week one, they're going to go 10-2 and they're going to make the playoff. Like Georgia is minus 250. And I know their schedule kind of is difficult, but it flipped from last year. These teams have to go 9-3 to have a chance of not making the playoff. So I'm more than happy laying at 250, 350 with an Ohio State or Penn State to make the playoff, because the margin of them, the chance of them going 9-3, I think is very slim. And then at the end of the day, if you want to look at Ohio State, Michigan, maybe Ohio State brings two losses into that game, and you want to get off of that a little bit, maybe you can. But I'm still not sure these odds to make the playoff are a big enough price to that the books are still a little undervaluing these numbers. And then in terms of the overall,
let me jump in there real quick there, because DraftKings, I have their site up now, and it does look like you can still parlay DraftKings. Their prices are a little bit more expensive than what you alluded to, but
well, it sounds like I'm going to have to make a drive to Massachusetts after we get done reporting here.
So Ohio,
there's another site out there that allowed me to do it that doesn't allow me to do it.
So let me throw live on the podcast, Ohio State, Penn State to make the college football playoff parlay at DraftKings is minus 167. Would you play that?
Yes.
He laughs.
Of course. And what would you get for an Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia three teamer?
Plus 124.
Yeah, someone's have to go for a ride a little bit later on.
We'll hold off on posting this for a little while, so Bear can make his drive to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts there. So yeah, DraftKings still parlayable, and they do have the two way market too. So if you want to, you know, fade it. All right, I interrupted you.
And by the way, I say that because in the state of Connecticut where I am, we cannot bet college sports futures to win championships. Don't know why, but we can't. So fortunately, I have a neighboring state which is about a 35-minute ride up the road, which I can do these things. So I'm not in the worst possible position to be able to do that. But yeah, what I was saying before about the odds to win the national championship, unless you really like a very long price, I'm like 25, 30 to one, somewhere in that range, I just don't think it's worth it playing these teams at 5, 6, 7 to 1, 9 to 2, whatever they might be, to win the title. And I bring up an example from prior to last season. I remember getting done with an episode of Bear Bets in New York with Jeff in December, where we were previewing the previous season's college football playoff, and the prices for the following year were up. Prices for 24 were up, and Georgia was plus 450 to win the national title. And I'm like, I got a free bet to use. Why? I'm not going to get a better price than 450 on Georgia to win the national title at any point next year. And then what wound up happening? You lose a game or two early, and by the end of September, they were longer than 9 to 2 to win the title. So, like, I think during the course of the actual season, and when we see the AP poll come out, even before the playoff rankings come out, and then we see the playoff rankings come out, and you really can't catch on to the whole seeding of it all, I think you're going to find better prices to win the title if you're looking at an Ohio State or a Georgia or a Texas or a Penn State or those blue blood type teams that are the short shots right now. I think you're going to get a better number on them at some point during the year if you can time it right. Now, again, if you like someone longer, like South Carolina or Florida or a team like – I'm just randomly naming teams like that, then by all means, take the shot, because if you get off to a good start, the price is going to come down dramatically. But in terms of the teams that I really think can win the title, you probably are going to get a better number at some point in September, October.
You know, it's funny, Bear, because last summer I did this extensive breakdown of why you really shouldn't bet into the Heisman Trophy market preseason, because historically it's going to be a quarterback, and at some point you're going to get a better price. And the examples that I used were, you know, CJ Stroud, I believe, got out the 30 to 1 after Ohio's. I think he missed a game early on in his season. He didn't win it, but he was the odds-on favorite going into their game against Michigan, so you were able to get off. Similarly, Bo Nix, he was the odds-on favorite going into the Pac-12 championship. But you laugh, because I did this whole damn exercise, and lo and behold, Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy. And I know you and many of your compadres on the Bear Bets podcast had a Travis Hunter ticket in hand, so I was very jealous of that long shot bet that you brought home as Travis Hunter wins. And look, the guy who was the runner up, Ashton Jeanty, was a long shot as well. So as we look at this year's market, are there long shots that intrigue you from a Heisman Trophy standpoint? Because we all try to find them. Look, I've got a couple of long shots in my portfolio. We'll see what ultimately comes to fruition of that. But I'm curious, after the success of Travis Hunter a year ago, are you going to go back to the well and try to go hunting for that long shot?
I see what you did there, Hunter hunting. Last year was a really interesting dynamic, because I think if you looked at the odds to win the Heisman last year, I think there were so many holes and questions at the top of the odds board with some of these teams and quarterbacks, maybe the situations. Like you had an Arch Manning, Quinn Ewers dynamic at Texas. You really didn't know Ohio State. Will Howard really wasn't going to win the Heisman Trophy, because you knew that Jeremiah Smith was going to be, well, at least I knew what Jeremiah Smith, the potential was going to be.
You had a long ticket on him last year, right?
Yeah, I had him at like 100 to 1, 150 to 1 to win the Heisman last year. I wasn't sold on Cade Klubnik last year entering the year. Drew Aller wasn't it. Like there were things like that gave you kind of alarm to say, maybe this could be a year where things got a little crazy, and they certainly did. This year, I think they probably look a little bit clearer, because I do think you have a lot of quarterback stability, I would say, at the top. Now, that being said, I think Arch Manning, at whatever he is, 5 to 1, 4 to 1 to win the Heisman, is a ridiculous price. All we know about Arch Manning is that he has a fantastic family name. We've seen him limited time. We don't know. We're looking at a team that, what, sorry to get off on a little tangent here on Texas, but
feel free.
I don't get the whole, like, why Texas is like number one in so many people's minds. Like, how are they better? Like, you lose so much offensive production. You lose offensive line. You lose receivers. Now, defensively, I'm sure, but I don't know. I think Texas has a lot of questions. They've recruited a hell of a lot better. And with the portal, I'm sure they can plug some holes in. But I don't think that they're a slam dunk number one, number two type team in the country at all right now. But you look at some of these odds, like Klubnik and Clemson, Julian Sand and Jeremiah Smith, are they gonna cancel each other out? I can't get behind Drew Aller. Like I said, Sellers, that price has come down so much. The one guy that I do have a ticket on, I do have a Carson Beck ticket at 25-1. And I think that, again, you can laugh at me for being a
homer.
Exactly. Go right ahead. But if you look at his 2023, he was great.
Yeah.
And then what happened last year, he was hurt. He had his two best wide receivers off the team. He went into the year with no Ladd McConkey and no Brock Bowers, and the offensive line had injuries. They couldn't really run the ball. He was under a lot more pressure. He had a ton of drops and interceptions that necessarily weren't his fault. Now he goes to Miami, who's going to have one of the best offensive lines in the country, one of the best running games, I think, in the country. And he's got some guys at wide receiver who I think he can get the ball to in a kind of a flex tight end position that he loves. So I think if Miami can certainly go out and maybe beat Notre Dame week one, or maybe they'll lose to Notre Dame week one, then they go out and get to the ACC championship game. I think Beck is someone that has a legitimate shot, but I'm looking down the board right now. Potentially it's some other names. I know Avery Johnson for Kansas State is going to be someone that garners a lot of love. I think if you look at Auburn, is a team that I am very high on. Jackson Arnold could be someone that maybe he reaches his hyped potential this year in Gus Malzahn's offense with the receivers that they have. Yeah, Jackson Arnold at 40-1 is not the worst. And again, I am just looking at an offshore book for these numbers right now. Again,
now Jackson Arnold 60 at DraftKings.
Okay, there you go. Because these offshores, the prices are completely deflated. But again, I can't look at
high 60 at Circa as well.
Yeah,
so
okay, so that's 60-1 Jackson Arnold. I'd go make that bet.
Yeah, I've got two long shots, and once again, super long shots, and once again to the Homer effect, you know. One of your former VSiN employee, now member of your podcast, and Sammy P is great at finding information. And, you know, there was a strong inclination that Steve Angeli was going to transfer, and there was a 75-1 on CJ Carr. And I'm like, well, you know, if he's a starting quarterback for Notre Dame and you have a Miami game week one. So I took a little flyer there. And the other one, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on two situations, because I bet Devin Dampier at 100-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. I think he's going to be awesome at Utah, and I'd much rather have a Mountain West transfer in the Big 12 as opposed to the SEC. Now, I know a lot of people who are smarter than me, Bear, think that John Mateer is going to go into Norman and just be lights out. He rides in with his offensive coordinator. You know, they go to the portal. They added Jaden Ott from Cal late in the process. So, look, they're all in on this year. Are you buying the John Mateer hype? Because I think you are of most people always kind of, you know, the dog with fleas mentality, mm-hmm. right? You try not to buy into the hype. So I'm curious your thoughts on the Mateer situation in Oklahoma. And is he getting too much love out there?
I think he might be. I always worry when you make that big step up in competition and league from one to another, and you're looking at the schedule that Washington State played last year. It was basically a Mountain West type schedule. Like you look at, I mean, it was terrible. It's a little, and I even had those concerns with Cam Ward going from Wazoo, who Wazoo played in 2023, which was a normal final year of the Pac-12 schedule, to an ACC type schedule. And Ward obviously had an unbelievable year. I know I'm picking the draft, but I think this is a little bit different, and I would have some concerns. By all means, I hope that he does go on and do great things. But you look at some of the better games that he had last year, Utah State, New Mexico, terrible teams, San Jose State, couldn't play a lick of defense, Portland State, FCS. Now, that doesn't mean he can't go there and in that system without bringing his offensive coordinator Arbuckle with him. I don't know. I think Oklahoma is probably maybe the biggest lightning rod type team of the year, where they're at an inflection. Like there's no ifs, ands, buts or whatever. Like if they fall on their face this year, that's probably going to be it for Brady. Even though Castiglione is a very loyal guy, and I'm sure he doesn't want to make a change. Good to give him Brent's history with that program. But if they were to kind of fall flat on their face this year, that will be a very bad thing. I mean, that game against Michigan early on is going to be a fantastic, fantastic game to see which of those teams can kind of kickstart their season. But, the Alabama game, they played so great defensively, but then you lose six of the other seven. It was a really weird year in Norman, and we'll see if they can right the ship this year.
Yeah, I mean, based off of some metrics, they have the hardest schedule in the country. Yes. I mean, it's Michigan, it's Auburn, it's in a row, Texas at South Carolina, Ole Miss at Tennessee, bye week at Bama, revenge spot, Missouri, LSU. Like, there's no Mississippi State on the schedule. And, you know, we love Diego Pavia, but there's no Vanderbilt on the schedule. There's no off weeks for Oklahoma. So it is no doubt going to be a challenge. All right, Bear, I know you've got some win totals that you've already thrown into the account, and I imagine you've talked about them on your pod. So lead us to water here on some of the win totals that intrigue you. You mentioned Auburn. Is Auburn one of the win totals that you have in your account?
Yeah, I bet Auburn over 7.5. This is a team that last year gave games away against aforementioned Oklahoma and Missouri in a year that they were 5-7. Games that they had won and lost them. The offense really didn't have a good quarterback situation, so they really struggled. But I think now with Jackson Arnold quarterback, like we were just talking about, Eric Singleton, Cam Coleman, that wide receiver core should be really good. The offensive line is full of upperclassmen. I think they have a chance to improve dramatically. You look at the non-conference schedule. You got three non-conference games and automatic wins. The game at Baylor is an interesting game, when certainly winnable. I mean, you're gonna kind of look at the rest of the schedule. Your bet's gonna be won or lost from that run of Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. It would not surprise me if they win all four of those games. It's very reasonable to think like 9 wins is kind of a baseline. So I know I said maybe you look at some of these make or miss the playoffs to win the SEC or whatever, but Auburn certainly could be a team that could make a run this year, kind of come, I don't want to say maybe be the Indiana of last year, but a team that had a losing record, brought in some skill position players and some other transfers, and make a big leap forward in, I know it isn't Gus's first year, not Gus.
You.
Yeah, thank you. I've been Gus. Gus used to be at Auburn. Yes, you. Thank you. I know it's not like Indiana and the coaching change having a success year one under their new staff, but I do like Auburn. I think they're a team that might be worth a little bit of a flyer to make the playoff and maybe even nibble a little bit at odds to win the SEC as well.
Yeah, plus 425 right now to make the playoff at DraftKings. You know, it's funny, Bear. We had Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and Indiana was 100-1. And I do think to make the playoff, and I even had a listener send me a screenshot of their 200-1 ticket on them to make the playoff. And, you know, books adjust too. Here are the teams 100-1 to make the playoff: Jacksonville State, Wyoming, Buffalo, Bowling Green, Troy. I mean, the only Power 5 teams in triple digits: Wake, Stanford, Purdue. Like, good luck. They're not going to let you, you know, take a big swing this year. Mississippi State, you know, 75-1. That's your long shot. So
they learned.
They learned. Yeah, they're not going to give us, unfortunately. Not that I had a ticket on Indiana. I had it over their win total, but my God, I didn't expect.
Yeah, I think Kiev with some O'Neill from the odds breakers. I think he had it 200-1 on Indiana to make the playoff last year.
Nice hit if you can get it. So let's go conference by conference. So you got Auburn over. Let's go ACC. Anybody in the ACC? I saw you tweeting a little bit about it. Is there too much Clemson love out there? You know, I've joked that this podcast has become the Clemson propaganda podcast because the first pod we did, Ari Wasserman over at On Three said a hammer time on 20-1 for Clemson to win the national title. I have a ticket on them to win the ACC, but I know you. Are you skeptical of this Clemson love?
So this is the equal time portion of the podcast topic. Because yeah, I am not there with Clemson. I can certainly understand why people might be with how Club Dickens and young wide receivers came together last year, but I just. You dig a little bit deeper on what Clemson did last year. Yes, they did hold on and beat SMU to win the ACC title, but they were blown out by Georgia, were non-competitive at home against Louisville, and then they lost a game at home against South Carolina. Now they stole a game against Pitt, so that might offset the game that they lost at home to South Carolina. But they were one of those massive teams that had a big turnover edge last year, fourth nationally in turnover margin. So you can probably expect some regression. Last year, a bunch of the other wins were either bad non-conference opponents or the bottom of a bad ACC. I think you look at the schedule, you've got the opener against an SEC giant in LSU. The road schedule, Georgia Tech isn't a pushover. BC should be better again with O'Brien and now a different quarterback. Louisville is going to be better. South Carolina is still going to be good. You're looking at five potentially losable games right there. And the SMU game, certainly, I don't think will be a gimme. Like 10 wins is going to be hard to come by. And if you want to play under, you could potentially play under and get plus money, under 9.5 plus money. If you have that ticket and you got a little cold feet, you can probably get off of it a little bit. And just play Clemson on the money line week one against LSU. I don't think that'll cost you too much to potentially. What's Clemson about? A field goal, 3.5, 4-point favorite in that game?
2.5.
Yes. Yeah. Under a field goal right there is telling me that the books and the odds makers think LSU is the right side.
Well, and you know, our mutual friend Chris Andrews, his old adage is when it's 2.5, the underdog is probably the right side, and when it's 3.5, the favorite's the right side. Now, it is worth noting.
Lay 3.5 and take 2.5.
Right. It is, but I will say DraftKings, I believe, is up to 3. So we have seen a little bit of Clemson support. Let me ask you this question regarding Clemson. So once again, I just use DraftKings a lot because it's on my computer. It's super easy to utilize, but you know. You've got the no price on them on the college football playoff is +135, and under 9.5 is +135. It's a would you rather. You used to play this game with Stanford Steve on your podcast all the time. What would you rather, under 9.5 or to miss the playoff, both at +135?
I would rather play under 9.5.
Okay.
I'd rather play. I think there are a lot of losable games there. That's what I would. And again, I don't know if 9.5, if they go 9-3, they're probably not making the playoff anyway. But I feel better about them going 9-3.
Okay.
So we'll see. And then there was one other team in the ACC that again I bet them at under 7.5, and that number is long gone. But I would still bet Florida State under 6.5 at plus money. Like I don't think people really understand how bad they were last year. They didn't score more than 21 against any FBS team. Only 3 losses were within one score. DJU was a disaster. And I don't know if Thomas Castellanos, who, like, it was funny, there are a lot, as you alluded to it earlier, like, there's a lot of stuff out there. Like he's, I don't want to say running his mouth, but it's kind of revisionist history. Like, he was benched and then, like, he left. Like, it wasn't like he chose to, like, leave. Like, he was benched. Oh, but Bob, they had an, he was done. He wasn't performing. So like, I don't know. Can he stand up as a running quarterback in Gus Malzahn's offense? I don't know what their running back situation is going to be like. I mean, I think they need some really young kids to really be a guy there. I'm not sure Roydell Williams is going to be someone who's going to come in there and actually be an every down type of guy. Like, their defense is a complete everything is basically a complete overall, which might not be the worst thing in the world. Like, are they going to be 2-10 bad on off bad again? No, but you look at non-conference games away from home against Florida, conference road games against Clemson, NC State, Miami comes to Doak Campbell. You got the Alabama game. You got four or five potential losses right there. And you can't give them the benefit of the doubt against really anyone. Pitt, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Virginia. Like, 6-6 is very much in the cards. And I think 6-6 is done. If they go 6-6, I wonder if Mike Norvell is back in Tallahassee in 2025. But I think this is a team that a lot of people expect massive improvement from, but I'm not sure the massive improvement's going to be there. I have under 7.5, which is long gone, but I also did play some under 6.5 at plus money as well.
Yeah, I updated my win total sheet here, and a month ago at Circa, Florida State was -110 both ways on under 7, and that has moved 30 cents. So it's now -140. So certainly seems like the betting market is agreeing with you on the under there, and you can get some plus money, as you said, on under 6.5 wins. All right, let's jump to the Big 12. We talked about it a little bit, how just fun this conference has the chance to be. You know, last year, the team picked last place won the conference title, and the team picked first place didn't make a bowl game. So you look at the betting market, Bear, on this conference, just from a future standpoint, and the shortest number is +550. I mean, that's just kind of indicative of what this conference is, which is great as a bettor, right? You can, you know, take a stand on a couple of teams. Utah +650 is interesting. I know there's some love out there for BYU. They are 8-1. Josh Hoover, I think, is a little underrated as the quarterback at TCU. So when you look at the Big 12, any teams jumping out to you either from a fade or a follow standpoint?
What do you have for Houston to win the Big 12?
40-1.
See, that to me is not the worst stab.
Their schedule is very manageable.
Yes, and you bring in Connor Wegman and some other guys. Willie Fritz has a tendency to really improve from year one to year two. He's a great turnaround guy. Like, they competed last year. I think this guy can coach. Again, you look at that schedule. You get Colorado in your Big 12 opener there at home, September 12th. You get Texas Tech at home. That's not the worst bet in the world. I think you could potentially look at a Houston win total maybe over again as well. And then the other team I think you could potentially look at winning that league would be Baylor. I think Baylor was the best team in that league, probably by the end of the year last year, the way that they were playing. Now the question is going to be if Robertson can continue that upward trend. But it felt like Aranda's team kind of turned that corner last year with Spav, and I think that this team will be definitely a force by the end of the year. But again, you look at early in the year, right out of the gate, Auburn at SMU, Arizona State through your first four, you're going to know early. Yeah. So the start of the year is very big for them. The one win total right now that I do have in pocket in the Big 12 is Texas Tech. And I did go, again, I know you'll be surprised to hear this, I did go under 8.5 with Texas Tech, -115.
Of course you did.
But why not? A team that invested a ton in the portal. Now, look, I love their coaching staff. I loved their offense, and I think they certainly are on the improve. But again, you were 6-1 in one score games. Is that close game luck going to continue even with the talent improvement? You look at the five road games that they have: Arizona State, Houston, Kansas State, Utah, West Virginia. All five of those are potentially losable. So yes, talent wise, Texas Tech should be better than they were last year. But again, I just worry about that road schedule and now with a ton of expectations. And we still don't know if Baron Morton can stay healthy. This is a guy who has a lot of difficulty making it through the season. So Texas Tech is a lot of people's the trendy team to win that league. Could they win the league? Sure. But I think, again, you're looking at replacing your entire defense and replacing, what, seven starters on offense, I think, too. I'm under 8.5.
Yeah, plus 120 on that. It's at Circa. So a little bit of love coming in on the Red Raiders, which once again isn't a big surprise. They've been kind of the one of the more popular teams with all the money that they've spent.
I'll tell you what, Tim, sitting here in this state of Connecticut, and you're telling me like the price is under 8.5, plus 120. Like it just, and I know it sounds like a broken record, and it sounds like basic logic and common sense. Having great books and a numerous number of books as outs makes such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I wrote this up, I was like, I literally have Texas Tech under 8.5 minus 115 at FanDuel. That's the number I got. So that what a massive difference that like from that plus price to minus 115, that's the difference between having like good years and great years with when you're looking at prices. Like being able to have more than two outs in a state is really a massive deal.
I want to wrap with the Big Ten with you. You already mentioned that you're going to be making a little road trip here to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts here, so you could put in a little college football parlay with Ohio State and Penn State. you know, a team that you know this conference extremely well because of Fox's ties, obviously, with the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. What teams do you think, you know, Indiana obviously has been talked about. I'm curious your thoughts on Illinois. Old Bert is talking quite a bit this offseason. There's a lot coming back there in Champaign after a 10-win season. So when you look at the Big 18 this year, who's jumping out to you?
Oregon is a team that I am very interested in buying. I know a lot of people are down on Oregon just because of the losses that they had at quarterback and on the offensive line, but if Dante Moore is as good as advertised, I know he struggled a little bit when he was thrown into the fire with the bad UCLA team as a true freshman. He was one of the most sought after recruits in the country. So I would expect him to play well with the great offensive line. I know they had an unfortunate injury at wide receiver, so maybe that hurts them a little bit. But I think it's pretty dangerous to expect Oregon to take a huge step back. I mean, there are very few teams out there that have recruited as well as Oregon has lately. They've been able to fill in whatever holes they have in the transfer portal as well. I like this Oregon team. I think if you look at 10, what is the again, here's one where I did get plus 110 on over 10.5 at DraftKings. Like, mm-hmm. What number on over 10.5 are you seeing right now with Oregon?
Let me double check because, like I said, I had updated my file about a month ago. Oregon over is looking like plus 120.
Okay, so again, a little bit better than what I was
able to get. That's Circa, by the way.
Yeah, okay. But again, they're going to be 4-0 when they go to Penn State. And I don't know how, based on what we've seen from Penn State in these big games over the last however many years, I don't know how we can just pencil that game in as a win for Penn State. And even if Penn State does win that game, you look at Oregon's other road games, Rutgers, Iowa, Washington, the toughest home game is USC. Like, even if they lose in State College, 11-1 is still very, very possible. And they're going to be a favorite in all those other games. So if you think there's an opportunity for them to maybe get tripped up one week, you look at the schedule and maybe the USC game stands out, or maybe with a game at Iowa where maybe you think they could lose potentially there, or the game at UW at the end of the year, maybe they're going to be a big enough favorite where you can kind of get off that bet at that point in the year. But I think 11-1 is very, very possible for Oregon. So I did, again, another win total that I'm probably in the minority on,
yeah,
was over 10.5 with the Ducks.
Wisconsin, 5 wins a year ago, make the change at offensive coordinator. But a lot of the times we look at schedules, right, Bear? And you look at this schedule, good luck, man. Yep. Week 3 at Alabama, And then in October, it's at Michigan, home to Iowa, who will be off a bye, home to Ohio State, at Oregon. You're an underdog in three of those four games, and it's a coin toss against Iowa. You have a bye week. You play Washington, at Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota. Bear, after the first three games where they should be sizable favorites, Miami of Ohio, Middle Tennessee, and Maryland, it's a coin toss or underdog in the rest of the rest of the games.
Yeah, I'm looking back at them. I'm trying to see if there's a date on when May 7th was when I wrote this up. I had Wisconsin under 5.5 -144, and I'm sure it's probably more than that right now. But you pointed out the schedule. If you look at the way the break on that schedule, like there's a chance they're 3-5 entering the idle week, and that would probably make for a very uncomfortable off week for Luke Fickell and that staff. I mean, I think the problem is there. This team was always a beneficiary of being part of the weaker division in the Big Ten. They had an identity under Barry Alvarez and Chris and Burt, run the ball, physical offensive line. Jimmy Leonard, the defense that they had was always a scrappy D. And now you're in this glut of 18 teams trying to transfer to an air raid offense, and you're not really getting those skill position guys to be able to run it. You lose I know there's a big to do now. They're trying to make a lawsuit with Xavier Lucas, who transferred to Miami. He wanted out of the portal. They wouldn't release him, and then finally they did. Recruiting is down. The roster has been depleted. I don't see it. I could still get behind. I don't know what the number is right now on the prices on under 5.5, but I could get behind under 5.5 right now, even at a bigger price. I think Wisconsin is headed for another very disappointing year, unfortunately.
Circa -140, DraftKings -150 on under 5.5. Yep. And Billy Edwards is your quarterback. Like, okay. Yes. You know, that was kind of one of those head scratching, like, really? That's who you're going to get in the portal?
TBD gone, and whoever else they had. Like, yeah, we're going to take Billy Edwards from Maryland, a team that was actually worse than us in the Big Ten last year. We want that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was bizarre. All right, we'll wrap on this, Bear. Week one, Irish Canes down there at Hard Rock Stadium, Sunday night under the lights. 2.5 is the spread, and we already indicated – the old saying is the dogs are – that's the dog barking there at 2.5. I'm terrified of this game. I'm with you. I think Carson Beck is underrated when you look at some of his numbers. His receivers stunk last year. But I am excited about Notre Dame. I think this is the deepest roster they've had since the Holtz era. Question mark, certainly at quarterback. So what's your feel on week one in the Bear versus Ginger showdown there?
Am I allowed to to go under 54.5, can that be my play for the game?
Sure.
I think what you're going to see are two teams really intent on running the football. I think that's what's going to make Miami's offense go this year. That offensive line and that running game kind of opening everything up for Carson Beck in the passing game. And obviously Notre Dame with a new quarterback and Jeremiah Love there. They're their first impression behind that offensive line, which gained so much experience last year, is going to be to run the football. So I could see kind of a feeling out period the start of the game. I think people expecting the Cam Ward Miami offense right out of the gate lighted up with 30-something, 40-something points out of the gate. I don't see that, especially going against a Notre Dame defense, which is going to be so good, especially in the secondary. But that the Miami offensive line versus that Notre Dame defensive line, I am really looking forward to that battle, and I'm looking forward to seeing if Miami's defense can improve from what they did last year. If there is a spot on the Miami team right now that I am worried about, I would say it is the front seven. I think that's the spot where they kind of need some guys to grow up, step up, and fulfill their potential. Like you know, there's always that like that adage that kind of not oxymoron, but that people kind of say. With a golden retriever, like he needs him to drop to go from being a boy to a man. It's kind of what the Miami defense needs to do this year on the front seven. They kind of need to go from that stage from being a boy to a man. If you catch my drift.
It is worth noting, very small sample size, but Marcus Freeman's three season openers have all gone under the total. Ohio State in 2022 was 21-10. Yep. 2023, Notre Dame smoked Navy, but they held them to 3 points. That total was 49. And then last year, I remember doing this pod bear, and I'm like, I don't understand why this total is as high as it is. I think it was like 45 or 46. Notre Dame and Texas A&M was a dead under game. And you got a late score. That actually, I was a little worried because it was 13-13. I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to go to overtime, and this thing is going to go over. But, yeah, I could get on board with the under 54.5. There's nothing more exciting, Bear, in the world than going to a game, and I'll be at Notre Dame, Miami, and having an under ticket. I was at Notre Dame Penn State last year. I had under, and I had Jeremiah Love under his rushing yards. And I was like, I mean, what am I doing with my life here?
Winning. Yeah. That's what you're doing. Winning.
Well, the total did go over because of the kind of craziness. It was 10-0 at halftime. I'm like, well, at least Notre Dame's going to lose, but at least we're going to get a winner here.
Yeah, remember the feeling going to halftime about, Riley Leonard's hurt because there's no way they're going to win this team. But let's play the Notre Dame in-game team total under, game under, Penn State money line. Yeah, how'd that go in the second half?
Yeah, and it's funny. I think back. I was way up in the nosebleeds for that game, Bear, and I remember these two Notre Dame fans sitting behind me just apoplectic that – they went back to Riley Leonard. Oh, you got to keep Angeli in there. What are we doing? And then the first drive is what, methodical right down the field, ties the game up at 10. But yeah, it was that was a fun one to be at, no doubt. And the interception. And look, I'll wrap on this because you mentioned Drew Aller, and there's a lot of love for Drew Aller out there. I get it. I agree with you. They're a playoff team. But can you trust Drew Aller? I mean, no. I think that's the question. I mean, he completed zero passes to a wide receiver against Notre Dame, and his binky, Ty Warren, is no longer in that offense.
And I know you've got the best running back tandem in the country. Yep. That's true. But they're really going to need Trevor Peña, for the transfer from Syracuse, to come in there and be that guy. And that's the biggest thing that the Drew Aller supporters and backers say is, well, we haven't had a look at the wide receivers that we have had. They haven't been true number ones, and maybe that's true, but I think you can look at other programs around the country that maybe didn't necessarily have true number one. But Penn State recruits great. I mean, if you look at their recruiting, right, because they've been recruiting great wide receivers, just haven't. I mean, and Trey Wallace was a very highly thought of wide receiver, and you just didn't work it. So is it the recruiting evaluations? Is it the development? Who the heck knows? But yeah, they're really going to need Peña to step up and be the guy that they think he can be for Aller and that offense to reach their lofty goals. But because, and again, it's, I hate saying this because people make you out to be this Penn State hater, and that couldn't be further from the truth. I've said many times with people in many different spots, like, Penn State's the reason I got into college football. Like, Penn State was my first love in the sport, having family in Northeast Pennsylvania and watching Penn State growing up as a kid on Long Island. They were the reason I fell in love with the sport. But there isn't a team out there. Like it's funny because you read some of these, like, early season projections, top 25, and, like, one of them was, like, Penn State finally shook the narrative. No, they didn't. They didn't do anything last year but even further and strengthen the narrative of win the games that you should and lose the games that are the big ones that you need to win. I mean, yeah, they played good against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, but Penn didn't State cover. The Ohio State game at home, I mean, they couldn't score an offensive touchdown. Like, it was rough, man.
Yeah, and look, they got their wish. They got the whiteout against Oregon, gotta step up there. That'll be a fun one on September 27th, which, by the way, is a sneaky loaded day. I think that's the same day as Alabama and Georgia. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, LSU, I believe, is that day. Yeah. So that's a loaded day. Hey, Bear, I've kept you a long time. You're the man. Always appreciate it. And enjoy your little drive up to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Absolutely. Vroom, vroom. NBA, last minute NBA draft props. Hopefully we can pay for the gas at least with the profit.
Thanks again to Chris Felica for jumping on. A long conversation with him running through some of his favorite bets. Made the gears get going here a little bit for me to add to the portfolio for this upcoming season. I did like to see that a little bit of movement as we gave out that Devin Dampier super long shot to win the Heisman Trophy. Now down to just your typical long shot. Still, I believe, 60-1 out there at DraftKings, but 100-1, maybe, just maybe, it could come on home. Fun guest for us later this week, Kelly Ford. He is someone that you might know from his tweets with his power ratings, but he's not a bettor. But he's been putting together power ratings now for a handful of years. We had him on the podcast last year, and looking forward to catching up with him and seeing where his numbers maybe don't add up to the market. So that'll be later on this week. Please, once again, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Appreciate you guys. The numbers have been awesome all throughout the summer months. So appreciate you chiming in. Keep giving the feedback as well at one Tim Murray. We'll update the betting portfolio as well, as I know we need to start getting some win totals out there throughout the summer months. Around this time last year is when we started putting out the win totals that we ultimately had a pretty good year. A lot of them came down to the wire. Hawaii over 4.5 wins came down to the final game of the season. Iowa over 7.5 wins came down to the final game of the season. I wish they were all as easy as Indiana over 5.5 wins, but we will see how it ultimately plays out. But we will start dishing out some win totals, certainly, as the summer months go on. Just a reminder, you can catch me every weeknight on VSiN Primetime from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time with Matt Eumanns. And then on the weekends, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. And looking forward to in another year of the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show, which hopefully will get up and running right around Labor Day weekend. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Thanks to Wyatt stepping in for Ryan as our producer this week. Thanks to the Bear, Chris Felica. I'm Tim Murray. We'll be back later this week with another podcast right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.